And maybe the Lord has had some things happen to you. Could it be the Lord is trying to get your attention? Maybe in the same way in which you have failed. Maybe the Lord is trying to get your attention or my attention. You see, the Lord disciplines those in whom He loves. That's all of us who are saved.
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Well, Greg, I first just wanted to share with our listeners that we will be taking a break from our series in Genesis, and this summer we'll be looking at the exciting portion of Scripture, the Olivet Discourse. Well, Greg, today we're going to begin to see that Jacob takes after his mother's side of the family.
You know, Dave, that's right. Rebekah's brother, otherwise known as Uncle Laban to Jacob, will be used by God to demonstrate that we reap what we sow. Let's pick up our study as we turn again in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 29.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
And yet within that, God has encouraged him that he is with him and faithful to his promises. And so he arrives at this well, and behold, some flocks. And then we have some commentary by Moses to help us understand. End of verse 2. Now the stone of the mouth of the well was large. When the flocks were gathered there, verse 3, they would roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep and put the stone back in its place on the mouth of the well. Now, why is all this being spoken of? I think we'll see in a minute. So what happens next? And Jacob said to them, that's those shepherds there at the well that are not watering, they're waiting, the stone's on there. My brothers, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. Verse 5, and he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. Now, I would have liked to have been there to see what their intonation was when they said, we know him, because Jacob will certainly know him after a while, as we'll see today. Now, these shepherds certainly knew Laban. And so what does he say next? And he said to them, is it well with him? Is he okay? And they said, it is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. Obviously, this is the time that she would come out with the sheep. Everybody's waiting for the stone. Each groups of herds would come. And they said, she's coming. And so this is very significant here. Now notice his response, which is very interesting at this point as I studied it. Verse 7, and he said, behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered. Water the sheep and go and pasture them. It's interesting. I don't know what Jacob's trying to do here. Maybe he's trying to get rid of them. It's not sure. But they said, we cannot until the flocks are gathered and they roll the stone from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep. So basically, Jacob is trying to tell them how to do their shepherding at this point. He's a newcomer. And they're saying, water the sheep, go and pasture them. And it's my thought that possibly Jacob, having been alerted to Rachel's coming, obviously knowing that that's the reason why he came, is trying to have them move. And we know Jacob's a pretty shrewd guy. But the Lord is working on him, and there's still a lot of work to do. So evidently, Jacob's suggestion is not taken. Look at verse 8. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks are gathered, and they roll the stone from the mouth of the well. And then we water the sheep. There are some commentators who say they're basically lazy shepherds that don't want to remove the stone. I don't think that's the case. Because you look at this, they said, beginning, and then later on he says, they roll the stone. There's a different they. Probably the owners of this well or whatever, they have to wait for them to roll the stone off. That's just the way it's done here. But as we'll see in a minute, Jacob doesn't follow this convention. Look at verse 9. While he was still speaking to them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. So we have Rachel, the daughter of Laban, who is Rebekah's brother. We see Rachel coming with the sheep. And notice what happens when Jacob sees her. Verse 10. And it came about when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the mouth of the well and watered the flock of his mother's brother. That's interesting. There's a phrase repeated there. His mother's brother, his mother's brother, his mother's brother. Interesting. There's an emphasis on this Laban being Rebekah's brother and ultimately in the family, and thus Rachel being one who is possible for being married. So at this point, we see that Jacob actually waters the sheep and waters the flock. And then notice what happens next. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, verse 11, and lifted up his voice and wept. Obviously, he's overcome by emotion, and I believe his lifting up his voice really relates to what he says in verse 12. And Jacob told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and that he was Rebekah's son. Now, not only at this point is Jacob quite excited with the potential of the possible spouse, which we're going to see, that his journey has been successful in a sense. Notice what happens here. She's excited too. End of verse 12. And she ran and told her father. Now, as I read this account, and I think about the account back in chapter 24, where Abraham sends his servant to his relatives to get a bride for Isaac. If you'll remember that passage, and we'll look at it a little bit today, but I'd encourage you to go home and read that. Abraham's servant was a godly man, and he bathed the entire process with prayer. And we see in that account him praying to the Lord to make the journey successful. We see him worshiping the Lord when the Lord God did make it successful. Now here, I don't see anything like that. I don't see anything relating to the Lord here in this situation. I don't see it at all. Indeed, in chapter 24, we have those incredible 67 verses of a godly servant. And we have some parallels. There was a journey. There was a situation at the spring of water. There was a girl running back to tell her mother. We have some parallels in this account also. Yet, what we read concerning Jacob and Abraham's servant are so different. They're so different. Abraham's servant sought the Lord in choosing a wife. He prayerfully was dependent on the Lord. He let him guide him. He gave him all the glory and worshiped him. The Lord was involved in every aspect of that. Yet I see nothing of that at this point here. Jacob seems to be still manipulating his circumstances with his own wisdom. I see no prayer. I see no thankfulness to the Lord. Remember, the servant even recounted with Laban's father. He recounted his praise for what the Lord had done. Here, we won't see that with Laban. Two similar circumstances recorded for us by the living God, two very different mindsets. And I think, although Jacob's the Lord's, we're seeing maturity-wise, he's not there yet. He's simply maneuvering through his circumstances for his own desires, and this will come back to bite him. So with that in mind, it even makes me wonder if he was trusting the Lord like the servant, which daughter might have come out first? It makes me wonder. Okay, so then Jacob meets Rachel. But notice it doesn't take long for love to set in. Verse 13. So it came about when Laban heard the news of Jacob's sister's son that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his house. Then he related to Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages shall be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and face. And Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your daughter Rachel." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. So then Jacob has arrived in Haran. He has met Rachel, the daughter of Laban. She's exactly on the surface the reason why he came to Haran, besides running from his murderous brother, by the way. And right away, she runs in excited. She's obviously excited. We saw that back in the end of verse 12. And so verse 13, so it came about when Laban heard the news of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him. There's a lot of excitement here. And again, this parallels the story we saw in chapter 24, but yet there's so many things missing, and we need to remember that. And embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his house. Then he, that's speaking of Jacob, related to Laban all these things. Laban is so excited. His sister's son is here. And in the end of verse 13, it says, then he, that's Jacob, related to Laban all these things. And evidently, Jacob shared a lot with Uncle Laban. Now, we don't know exactly what he shared, but I'm sure he shared about his mother, Rebekah, maybe his dad, Isaac, maybe his brother, Esau. He certainly shared of what happened at the well. And this is certainly enough to convince Uncle Laban that this is really, truly his relative. Because Laban says, verse 14, Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. Then notice end of 14, and he stayed with him a month. So a month has gone by at Uncle Laban's house. And notice what happens at this point, verse 15. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages shall be. And it sounds like a pretty nice statement here. But when you get to learn about Laban, you see later on, even in the chapters after what we'll see today, Laban is a shrewd operator. He's a shrewd guy. But he's a smooth operator in this context. And evidently, Jacob has been hanging out as a relative, possibly doing nothing, and Uncle Laban needs him to work his keep. Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages are going to be. That's a kind way of saying you need to work. It's been a month. Now, this is the opportunity to which Jacob springs into action to make his will happen. Notice what happens. Verse 16, we have some commentary by Moses to help us here. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Uh-oh, there's another daughter. Her name is Leah. Now the name Rachel means ewe, or speaks of a female sheep. Leah's name appears to mean weary. We're going to see she lives up to that name in terms of the things that happened to her later on. And the Lord sees that weariness and comes to her aid, by the way. Now we have some more commentary here. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and face. And this has been a statement that has been really translated almost universally at times to speak of Leah as being an ugly duckling. That she's probably an ugly gal compared to Rachel. And I'm not so sure that I buy that, and I'm going to share why. This term translated weak is translated most often in the Old Testament tender. It also speaks of soft and gentle and delicate. Could be weak, possibly. That's certainly possible. Proverbs 4, verse 3. When I was a son to my father, tender, and the only son in the sight of my mother. That's the same word used there. Proverbs 15, 1, same word. A gentle, or not a weak answer, but a gentle answer turns away wrath. But harsh words stir up anger. Now, given in the right context, it can mean weak. There's no doubt about that. And in contrast with Rachel being beautiful of form and face, the implication is that maybe Leah was not such. Now, man, there's nothing wrong with marrying a beautiful woman. But if that's the only thing you have, you're in deep trouble. You're in deep trouble. Because the most important thing is godliness. A woman who fears the Lord. Now, again, I've always thought that Leah was probably an ugly duckling, but I'm not so sure. I think there's a possible contrast here to do with character versus outward appearance. It seems to be the flow of this that Jacob is all about outward appearance. It's possible. I wouldn't die on this interpretation. But it's possible that the implication was Rachel, in contrast, was not tender, but she was just simply beautiful. That's possible. But I'm not going to die on that. One thing we do know for sure is that Rachel was obviously beautiful in form and face. And there is a contrast. So here we see verse 18. Now Jacob loved Rachel. It's only been a month, but he's in love. He's fallen head over heels for her. So he said, I will serve you 7 years, this is verse 18, for your younger daughter, Rachel. He's clarifying who he's serving for, by the way. He's not saying the older one. He's saying, I'll serve you for the younger one. He's making it clear. So a month's gone by and Jacob's head over heels. But I don't see anything about prayer. I don't see anything about rejoicing. God has guided me here. I don't see anything like that. I see, in light of how Moses has revealed these comments, that most likely it is the external realities that Jacob is focused on. It's quite possible. Now, we see that he clarifies it's the younger daughter that he wants to marry, but Laban, as we'll see, has a different plan. So with this in mind, we need to remember that there's some interesting things that happen here. If Jacob had been following the Lord, like Abraham's servant, he wouldn't have had to run from his brother Esau. The Lord could have ordained the circumstance at the right time for him to go to Haran to get a wife from his relatives, not from the Canaanites. And in that case, he would have had time. He would have brought finances and money like the servant did. You see, the custom was to give the father or the family a dowry for the bride. Jacob has no such thing. So he's making an offer of 7 years, obviously, in light of that. He's going to do his time, as we'll see later on. He says he's done his time under Uncle Laban. So he makes a pretty handsome offer, I would say blinded by love or maybe lust, of 7 years of service. Sin has its consequences. This is the first element of it. 7 years are going to go by. Now, to him, it went by quickly because he was in love. But it's 7 years of time that didn't need to go by if he had not sinned with his father Isaac. So what happens? Jacob now at this point is seemingly ignorant of the conventions and traditions of the area. That's why I think that was thrown in a little earlier about the well. There was a convention and a tradition for the older one to be married off first. And he is simply ignorant of that, or he is blind to it. So what happens? Verse 19. And Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me. Hey, sounds good with me. No prayer, no praise to the Lord. Hey, you're the guy. All right." So what happens? Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, verse 20, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. This guy, he's a romantic. He's passionate. And we're going to see this plays into Laban's deceit. 7 years seems like a few days, but Jacob certainly has been counting them, obviously. Look at verse 21. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my time is completed." Sounds like he's getting out of prison, doesn't it? My time is completed, that I may go to her. Verse 22. And Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Boy, this Laban, he's a tricky guy. Jacob's going to be deceived here on his wedding night and get the surprise of his life. Look at verse 23. Now it came about in the evening that he took his daughter Leah, that's Laban, and brought her to him, that's Jacob, and Jacob went into her. Verse 24, Laban also gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. That's going to come in later. These maids that are given when these daughters are married off are going to come in later in the future chapter, so just keep them in mind. They were given as maids, by the way. Remember that, okay? Given as maids. So it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. Oh, my. We have the deceiver being deceived by Laban. And evidently, Leah probably must have loved Jacob. Later on, we're going to see in Genesis, she is even concerned about her time with him. So what's happening here? Behold, it was Leah. Obviously, Leah is participating. Jacob, after the wedding feast, goes in to consummate the marriage. Mr. Passionate doesn't even know that it's not Rachel till the next morning. He has been deceived, I believe, by his own lust and Laban. So after a night of seemingly marital bliss for Jacob, what happened? So it came about in the morning that it was Leah. What a shocker. He's worked 7 years for Rachel, and in the first light, it's not Rachel, it's Leah. 7 years doing hard time in Laban's house. Can't wait. Behold, it was Leah. Now, I think at this point, Jacob should have been reminded of some events that happened in his life. I think he should have been alerted to some of the things that he has done. But I don't think he's responding to God's discipline. You see, he deceived his father. And yet Jacob is still messing up here. He is reaping, but he is not responding. He makes a hasty, lifelong commitment in the context to being blind to Laban's character, and blind, I believe, in the context of love. And maybe the Lord has had some things happen to you. Could it be the Lord is trying to get your attention? Maybe in the same way in which you have failed. Maybe the Lord is trying to get your attention or my attention. You see, the Lord disciplines those in whom he loves. That's all of us who are saved. So after waking up to Leah rather than Rachel, the shock of his life, by the way, notice Jacob confronts Laban and Laban shrewdly answers. Verse 25, so it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why have you deceived me? But Laban said, it is not the practice of our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also for the service which you shall serve me for another 7 years. And the scripture says, verse 28, and Jacob did so and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Verse 29, Laban also gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maid. Verse 30, so Jacob went into Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban for another 7 years. So after having the shock of his life, Jacob confronts Laban. Middle of 25, and he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? What have you done to me? And by the way, this is the same phrase that Pharaoh used back when he was deceived by Abraham. It's the same basic phrase that Abimelech used when he found out he was deceived by Abraham. What have you done to me? And Abimelech said, what have you done to us? So now we have the deceiver, the supplanter, Jacob, that's what his name means, being fully deceived on a major life level, and he is reaping what he has sown. The chickens have come to roost. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me? And he was deceived. You bet he was. Why have you deceived me? Now, it seems that shrewd Uncle Laban has his answer ready to go. He obviously understood that this morning would come when he would see that it is not Rachel, that it was Leah. And he has his answer ready to go. Verse 26, but Laban said, it is not the practice in our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Blinded by love, tricky Laban has used this weakness to deceive him.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. You know, Greg, a lot of us may chuckle at Jacob getting his just desserts, but I dare say we better learn rather than laugh at Jacob.
So right you are, Dave. Friends, God doesn't discipline his children out of spite or to make fun of them. He loves us, and if you belong to him, he's going to conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. The quicker we respond to his correction, the less painful things will be, and we'll truly enjoy the result of genuine fellowship with the living God. If you're getting away with sin, you better ask yourself, are you God's child? You see, he only disciplines those who have come to him as sinners, who need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ, who paid your sin debt and mine by shedding his blood on that horrible cross. Do you feel the tug of his call today? Don't turn away. Don't harden your heart. Trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, if you've put your trust in Jesus and what he has done for you, would you contact us?
so that we can send you a new believer's packet, we would love to do so and help you in your walk with Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.